Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on BBSRadio.com. Every Monday evening at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. I'm your humble host, PK, and I'm here every Monday evening here at the times I just gave on BBSRadio.com, Station 2. And as I always do, I shall now pay homage to the suits in the office at BBSRadio.com. Suits, I pay homage to you for not only being the entrepreneurs you are, keeping your station going, but as always, for promoting free speech, free thought, free inquiry, dissent, and debate. And this network is free of corporate Zionist control. So I am free to speak my brilliant mind, which I do on a weekly basis. But the internet and folks like BBSRadio.com make it easier because they uphold the First Amendment and hopefully the Second Amendment and all the amendments, well, the first 10 especially. But that's what I like about alternative media, thank goodness, because it helps us pull the wool over the eyes of the establishment, who doesn't like the internet very much. They don't like alternative news, and they certainly don't like me. So as I like to do, say hello to all those pricks from the CIA, the FBI, NSA, all those other Americans who like to oppress the rest of us, who would rather me not have this show, who would rather me never have the topics that I speak of, and of course the Mossad out there that's listening. Mossad, of course, is the Israeli CIA, which has heavily infiltrated our military and our government. In fact, His Highness Romney, I just heard on the radio today, is soon going to visit Israel. And it's as if that they are the kingmakers. So in order to be elected president of this country, you can't piss off the Israeli lobby. So, which is one thing that Marco Rubio did. Soon after he was elected, he went to Israel. Soon after Rand Paul was elected, he met with criminals from AIPAC, probably Bill Kristol and that whole crowd, the neocon crowd, the pro-Zionist, very Jewish, very pro-Israel crowd. And that's, you know, those are the kingmakers. So just the fact that Romney's going over there, you know, just not only sickens me, but it's par for the course. Because in my humble yet all-knowing opinion, Israel needs to be taken to the woodshed big time and have all of their American tax aid funding cut off. And I would especially like an arms embargo against Israel. Now, I'm hammering on Israel right away today because I've said this before. It is my belief, as well as many others, that 9/11 was perpetrated mainly by Israel's Mossad, which is their CIA. And their mantra is, by deception we make war, or by way of deception we make war, if they want to get technical. It's absolutely that phrasing, give or take, but that's where they're coming from. By deception we make war. Not only can they make war, they can cause other people to go to war, and they can sit on the sidelines. So I'm starting to think that, well, U.S. is Israel's puppet, and if they do want global domination, they're using the U.S. empire to do it. They are the power structure of global Zionism and international Jewry is quite the, what do they call it, quite the old boys club. What's that term they use? Old boys network, good old boys club, whatever. So that's how I see it. And I'm heading towards the topic I'm heading to now is 9/11. I know it's been discussed a lot on other networks and the media ever since the big day, which will be 11 years ago this September, where we had the second Pearl Harbor type event as called for and recognized by the infamous PNAC documents from the late 1990s. That would be the Project for a New American Century, signed by Rumsfeld, Cheney, probably Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, all these treasonous bastards. And it was a call for enlarging America's military presence and empire throughout the world. And in this infamous PNAC document, which Bill Kristol and company, they've, you know, run away from, they've tried to down, it's being called or discussed, spoken of or discussed, but in it, they say that in order to galvanize American public opinion, that it would take something like a new Pearl Harbor to achieve this. And what do you know? They got their wish on September 11th. But when September 11th, 2001 came about, I, in my living room while I was watching the Twin Towers, I said, quote, "The chickens have come home to roost." And what I meant by that was the interventionist foreign policy of the federal government has caused this mess. But little did I know the extenuating circumstances in this attack, this so-called attack by the evil Osama bin Laden. Now, before I go on, I want to tell the multitudes out there that if you want to call in and speak to the great PK or debate me or challenge me, I welcome that. And the number here is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. So, back to 9/11. So that day, yes, I said, "Oh, the chickens have come home to roost." You know, I wasn't surprised at all because I've always, not always, but for the last over 30 years, I've been really disgusted with U.S. foreign policy because no matter who's in office, it remains the same. As it will if Romney is elected, but it doesn't matter because the puppets stay the same. And I was debating few clowns on Facebook the other day that have the audacity to say that, you know, that those of us in the liberty movement, in other words, Ron Paul supporters, those of us who are truthers, well, they said birthers too. I'm not a birther, but I'm proud to be a truther, that we're hurting the movement and we're, you know, bringing shame and da 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 da. And, you know, to them I say, screw you. I'll speak my mind. This is what I proudly believe. And I'm not going to back away from it. That's your problem. And of course, just as my profile for my show here, which is Third Stream View, thank you very much, Third Stream View, bbsradio.com, the Third Stream View meaning not of Republican or Democrat or left-right paradigm, a third stream view of liberty, property, and peace, sound money, very, very strictly limited constitutional government with micro taxes and micro regulations. I'm not an anarchist, but I am a minarchist. So, where was I? So back to 9/11. So little did I know that day that when I said the chickens have come home to roost, and then I heard all this Osama bin Laden propaganda, you know, I took it with a grain of salt. So about a year later, I think it was like September 2002, I come across Alex Jones. Now, I'm a fan of Alex Jones, but my main criticism of him is he doesn't go off on Israel and Zionism enough and Jewish power and the Israeli lobby. And maybe part of this is because he's married to a Jewish, his wife is Jewish or half Jewish, so maybe that keeps his claws in on this. But he's got a radio show now during the week, I think, you know, midday, and it's pretty amazing what he gets away with. But maybe the globalist New World Order Illuminati crowd, I don't think he's a shill for them, but they just tolerate it. because if he's completely marginalized or excluded, it gives even more credence to what he has to say. And he does sensationalize some things. Like he talked about, I don't know if it's 400,000 rounds or 450,000 rounds of new ammunition that the Department of Homeland Security, quote unquote, is getting. You know, why do they need all those, you know, that many more rounds? Well, then I saw someone corrected that, and he said, you know, I like Alex, but he's wrong about this, because the Department of Homeland Security bureaucrats, they are upgrading their pistols to a different type, different brand, and that's what all this new ammunition is for. But I still say, screw that. They got plenty of guns right now. They don't need to spend, they don't need all this other stuff. You know, who do they have to shoot? They're going to try to shoot more Americans as the police state grows. So my whole thing is, I hope the country will wake up, is my biggest enemy, it should be our biggest enemy, is Washington, D.C., is the federal government. The federal government is the problem. And I never, ever confuse my patriotism with loyalty to the government, because my patriotism is first and foremost about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution, which are the first 10 amendments, and the U.S. Constitution. I'm not real thrilled with the U.S. Constitution. It's not a perfect document, especially because of the Commerce Clause and the Welfare Clause. Those are the two huge cracks that has allowed statism to grow and grow and interpret the Constitution any way they like. In fact, since I spoke last, that wonderful Chief Justice Roberts from Indiana, Bush appointee, screwed us further last week when he sided with the liberal section of the court and basically, you know, stabbed the Constitution again and slightly watered down Obama, quote unquote, care with his stupid ruling. And, you know, the Obama supporters think it's a great day, a big deal, you know. I'd say to them, all this big pro Obamacare crowd, I'd ask them, well, how sound is the Social Security system? How sound is Medicare? And how sound is Medicaid? Europe's collapsing. Its financial system is collapsing. If America's collapses, and I think it's on a way, I can't say when, but it's sadly enough, it's heading in that direction. Where are they going to get the money to pay any of these things? It's funny to see the comments by the Obama supporters and those who are naive. And, you know, most people have never read a free market economics book, especially one of the Austrian bent. So just a little preface for you. So anyway, back in September 2002, I come across Alex Jones. I think it might have been on public TV. I don't recall the network. But he was saying how the government did 9/11. And that really opened my mind up. It wasn't closed at that point. I didn't doubt it at all. I never believed their BS about Pearl Harbor. And then I discovered what Lies Gulf of Tonkin was, and of course the battleship Maine in 1898, and then of course Pearl Harbor 1941, which they had already broken the Japanese code, so they knew the attack was coming, and yet they still crucified the commanders, the naval and army commanders. One was named Kimmel, in Pearl Harbor. They've been posthumously. Rectified the damage that the feds caused to them. I think they were court-martialed, and they weren't allowed to speak from the trial because that would have let the world know and the Japanese that the feds had broken the Japanese code. So anyway, back to 9/11. So that morning I said, yep, the chickens have come home to roost. And ironically, that's what the evil Reverend Jeremiah Wright said too. The chickens have come home to roost. He said it differently, but I agree with him about foreign policy. And by the way, Reverend Wright has, I believe it's 3 years United States Marine Corps service and 4 years in the United States Navy service. So if anybody has a right to speak his mind, it's him. All these years of service, you don't like what he has to say, too bad. He defended his and our right to speak freely, supposedly. And that's the people who are annoyed with us, who criticize the war and this and that. They like to say the troops are defending our rights. Well, yeah, it may be true. So why do you condemn us when we use those rights and we speak out? Why? Because it doesn't dovetail neatly with Fox News, neoconservative Fox News, or neocon talk radio, that pathetic pro-Zionist, pro-war, pro-empire mouthpiece of the state, just as Fox News especially is, but so is CNN. You know, it's just a facade. They're both gatekeepers for their crowd, be it the phony left-right paradigm. So, anyway, seeing Alex Jones talk about 9/11, I saw footage that he had from the Pentagon that they, some of their, I don't know if it's instructional things they had, but it was some of the operatives they had. It showed models of planes crashing into the Pentagon. And after it was noticed that Alex Jones was showing these, it was quickly taken down. I still do not believe, I don't believe a plane hit the Pentagon. I think it might have been a drone or a missile or something. But, you know, there's very little wreckage. I heard a report a while back that the wreckage that was found, the small bits of it, they found a type of engine or small motor parts that would have been from a drone or a rocket. And with all of those cameras, something like almost 100 cameras observing the Pentagon, which would be one of the most highly defended, you know, buildings in the country, their own headquarters, they couldn't even defend that. So I don't believe their whole story, all their BS. Supposedly, firemen, some of the police even heard bombs going off before the towers were hit, bombs down below. So getting back to my assumption, I think that Mossad, Israel's Mossad, their fingerprints are all over this, with probably some help possibly from CIA, renegade elements of that. CIA, also called Cocaine Importation Agency. Of course, what they do is all wrapped up in the flag and patriotism, but most of it's unconstitutional, overthrowing governments, intervening, manipulating the truth on a daily basis. So I got your number, CIA, and as I've told my multitudes of listeners, the CIA, Britain's MI6, and the most evil, Israel's Mossad, they all work together, share information, maybe pull off their little escapades, and they are the masters of deception. And of course, I believe CIA was heavily involved in the Kennedy assassination. Of course, they always need their patsy, as was Oswald, as was Sirhan Sirhan, as was Osama bin Laden. Now, Mossad may have infiltrated some of the Arab or the Muslim crowd, the terrorist crowd, and were able to maneuver it and use their information so that they could set up 9/11 to echo what these would-be terrorists were going to do. But there's no way the Muslim terrorists had access to the Twin Towers like Mossad did. Israeli companies ran the security system. There was elevator work going on. There was things when cameras were shut down a month or so prior, even more so to this date. So they could have infiltrated then and set things up for what came to be. Now, over the weekend, I was lucky enough to go see a new film produced by architect Richard Gates, a very straight-ahead guy. And the movie does not draw any conclusions about who did what. Although when I spoke to him afterwards and several others, and I mentioned Mossad, no one condemned me. No one gave me a hard time. Some agreed. Some said they heard that theory. They wouldn't be surprised. So there you have it. Now, Richard Gage was the main fellow behind this film. It's called 9/11. Looking at my paperwork here. 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. So at this point, there's something like, and he represents an organization I've heard of, and I've looked at some of their website before, and it's very straight ahead, very scholarly, very believable in terms of everything else. But now there's roughly 1,700 architects and engineers in this organization, and they consist of architects and engineers from outside the U.S. So that's a good thing. And his presentation, this film, had about 40 whistleblowing experts presenting evidence of a controlled demolition of the World Trade Center on 9/11. So Osama bin Laden with a laptop in a cave, he was able to pull this off. The planes alone, I mean, those towers were very strong, constructed very strongly to withstand an accident where a plane might hit them. And the fact that they came down, together or close together, the same way, it looks too perfect in a way. And it was very pulverized, unlike other controlled implosions. And to this date, most people, I've known about it for years because, of course, I'm the mighty PK, but most people don't know that three buildings came down that day. Also, World Trade Center building number 7, 47 stories high, and it fell in about 6.5 seconds. That's the smoking gun. Oh, well, the main towers are too, as far as I'm concerned. But, World Trade Center building number 7, it wasn't hit by a plane. It was about, 300 feet away from the other towers? I mean, it wasn't real close to them. It had fire damage, but it wasn't really close to them. And, these architects and engineers are saying, yeah, this whole official story violates the laws of physics. So, my thanks to Richard Gage, who for the last 6 years has been carrying the banner and growing his group of architects and engineers who don't believe the official government story. Now, when the main towers came down, I mean, there's multiple, isolated ejections of beams and materials up to 60 stories below the crash zone. They can be seen exploding horizontally. And one of the main guys who helped bring this to the forefront was a high school physics teacher. And he corrected the NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. Of course, they're paid through taxes. It's a government institution. They're singing the song of the state. So, back to what brought these towers down, it's controlled implosion. It's that advanced nanothermite product, which a lot of that was found on top of other buildings nearby. It's in the dust. I believe it's only made in two places in the U.S., and I believe our little friends in Israel manufacture it too. Of course, you may have heard of the dancing, they thought they were, Arabs at first, but they're actually dancing Israelis. They said that they were there to record the event. These are the guys, there was five of them, I believe, that were seen bouncing up and down on the van or high-fiving each other when they were filming the towers collapsing across the bay. So they were originally believed to be, Muslims and or Palestinians, but lo and behold, they're not. And so they're taken briefly into custody, and then pro-Talmudic Jewish Zionist Chardoff, so Michael Chardoff, who was the head of Homeland Security, he helped them get out of the country soon thereafter when, many people weren't allowed to leave, as were certain members of the Bin Laden family were allowed to leave, supposedly for their own safety. But these five dancing Israelis were probably pretty much Mossad agents. There was another van with Israelis in it found near the George Washington Bridge, was it? It had explosives in it and whatnot, and the cops were told to back off on that too. So this thing really stinks. This whole thing really stinks. And so my view on it continues to evolve, but it continues to evolve in the same direction. One moment. Okay, I'm back. So having seen this film over the weekend really gave me an insight, further insight, into what I've basically believed all along. But to hear architects and engineers speaking on this brings a lot of credence to it. And then there's also, you also have pilots for the truth, so we have architects and engineers, and they have pilots. I don't know if it's pilots for the truth, or I forget the exact terminology, but airplane pilots, commercial pilots, who also don't believe the main story. I think that Cheney played a big role in this. He was conducting a NORAD stand down. He was conducting military drills on 9/11. So the air traffic controllers, they don't know, well, is this a military drill? Is this a hijacking? Or is this business as usual? And lo and behold, what happens? 9/11 happens. Now, what a convenient time for this to happen. Makes me think that Mossad and Cheney were working together. And I believe that Bush was sort of kept out of the loop, that he didn't have prior knowledge, even though they ignored a lot of data and information, security that supposedly, the bad guys were going to crash planes into the towers. But I think that that was enabled also. And since then, a lot of these so-called terrorist acts in the States, they've been greatly enabled by FBI or CIA. I made the comment when we were talking after the film with some friends. I said, I much prefer the old-fashioned type of terrorists where they made their own bombs. Sometimes they blew themselves up accidentally. But they weren't enabled by the FBI and the CIA, So that's how I see it. And that's probably how it really is. Because, again, Osama bin Laden in a cave with a laptop could not have pulled all this off. How could he have conducted a NORAD stand down? Because they scramble planes usually for any kind of thing off course. they'll scramble planes immediately, as they have for numerous other occasions. And this whole thing with 9/11, a similar thing happens, let's see, 4 years later in London, in Britain, the 7/7 bombing. What's happening? They're conducting military drills again, and it's probably MI6 who did this. And they recruited some young Muslim youth who thought that they were doing something patriotic or helping out, so they could frame them, because again, they always need their patsies. And so they're conducting military drills down in the tubes. I guess certain cameras were shut off or whatnot, so they couldn't observe everything. And what happens? Lo and behold, kaboom! So all the more reason to suspect that these are false flag operations. Big time. And as was Pearl Harbor, as was Gulf of Tonkin. And then the sheeple die. All the people that believe this stuff, they're the ones that, the rich globalists or the people calling the shots, they're not the ones in their family. They're not the ones that die. So, anyway, it was interesting to hear them speak. Interesting film. Although I thought that the ending of the film would have been better maybe to put towards the top, and that is when they speak of and recollect what other people have said, where a lot of people, well, especially Americans, they've been, led to believe that we're exceptional and this nonsense, so they can't even comprehend their government being involved or letting this happen. They don't even want to go there. These are the sort of things they spoke of in front, and the ridicule you'll come across. But it's slowly starting to change. And, it was also mentioned some people, they don't even want to know the truth. If that's what happened, they don't even want to know, because it has such a it lends such an awful, I don't want to say viewpoint, but asterisk to what they thought of their country. They don't want to think that their country's government would ever be behind anything like this. And that's why they like to ridicule us and call us kooks. And then idiots like Bill O'Reilly say that, oh, I saw him, it was on YouTube, I saw him with a kid who lost a parent or something in the World Trade Center, and he was a 9/11 truther. And O'Reilly was saying he thought it did just great disservice to the memory of those who die, the innocent. But this is a technique they like to use to shut things down. They like to use conspiracy or conspiracy theory, those terms, to shut down all objective, intellectual, scholarly inquiry, dissent, and debate. They think they can scare people away with that. So the term, what I usually say is, When someone says, oh, you're conspiratorial or it's conspiracy theory, I say, I'm not interested in conspiracies. I'm interested in the facts of conspiracies, the details, what really went down. So the way they framed the end of the movie and talking about how people don't want to come to grips with it or how people are sensitive about it, several of us thought that should have been the first part of the film, because that gives you a scenario of what we're up against with patriotic American sheeple who don't want to think that their government was involved in anything like this. But I'm very past that, because I realize that they do these kind of things. A lot of governments do this, and they're constantly manipulating the truth or telling half-truths. So that's why I'm surprised Alex Jones is on, he's on regular AM radio afternoons, at least he is where I'm from. And so he had a lot to do with bringing this all to the forefront and exposing the Bilderbergers and people who ridicule us or make fun of us, call it the Bild, Bildaburger, which is a way to discredit, try to discredit and downplay things by smearing, by distorting, by exaggerating, by mixing in truths and half-truths. So, you know, I'm used to that whole game. I know how that is played. And I like to stand up to it, as I do. So, back to 9/11, it is the view of a lot of these architects and engineers that the product thermite was used, because kerosene doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel, and no steel construction has ever collapsed from fire. So there are so many flaws in the government's official story. And the 9/11 report doesn't even mention World Trade Center Building Number 7. So, I mean, that was a big whitewash. That was similar to the Kerner report? What report was that? The Kennedy assassination report. I forget what they call it. But that was riddled with half-truths and lies, too. I mean, there's a pretty good chance that, not chance, but there's a pretty good, what's the word I'm looking for? It's rather certain now that the FBI killed Martin Luther King. And of course, who was their patsy? James Earl Ray. Now, the patsy may be in on something, like Oswald was, and, you know, used to set things up, but they take them down too. At least they have, that's who they can blame. Just like Saddam Hussein was their patsy. And that's why they wanted him executed soon, because, you know, dead men tell no tales. I was against his execution unless Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld joined him. I could probably name about 15 other people that should have been on the same gallows with Saddam. As long as they're going to execute Saddam, these other people should have been there. Bush, Cheney, Tony Blair, Rumsfeld, Richard Pearl, Paul Wolfowitz, John Ashcroft, that other little prick attorney general that they got justifying torture, who's a Mexican-American guy. It doesn't matter if they're black or Mexican-American. Like, look at Eric Holder. I'm not a hater. I don't care what their race is. But if they are of a certain race and they're guilty and they're doing these kind of things, I call them out. Not because I don't care if they're black or Asian or Latin. If they're players and they're, cause again, my whole thing is always an expose on power. So if they're doing these things and they're behind it, I'm going to call them out. And you can't do this on national TV without being ridiculed, or the way they play the game. So, and we know that. So I have my own way of doing things. Now, I had mentioned O'Reilly. He likes to ridicule people who may have had, I saw him do it to this one fellow who had a relative that died in 9/11, and he's a family member. He's a, you know, who doesn't buy into the official story. So of course, O'Reilly ridiculed him. Well, a lot of some of the first proponents of this who wanted an independent investigation, they are family members of people who perished. So how dare the status quo manipulators call these people unpatriotic, or what they're doing is very hurtful to the memory of those who died? No, they're trying to find out why they died and who was behind it. And I proudly say, without any regrets, I tell people I think it was Israel's Mossad. And no one's really contradicted me or hotly debated me or argued it with me. So, you know, that's how I see it. And this thermite product, I don't know if it could have been painted on the walls or how it was installed, but they sure found a lot of it. And it's a little round. I mean, they're very, you know, you need a microscope to see these little particles, but they're very powerful. And it's, I think it's military grade. This is not stuff that's accessible, I don't believe, to the general public very easily, some of these things. Now, World Trade Center building, which Number 7, which collapsed at 5:20 in the afternoon on 9/11, is 47-story tall. Now, World Trade Center Building Number 7 is 350 feet from the North Tower, and it had only minor damage from falling debris. You know, it had some fire damage. But what else was in that building? Well, it was some CIA headquarters, FBI. It was Rudy Giuliani's operations center. So it makes you wonder if the building was even pre-wired. But it's huge. I mean, it's a huge building. And to see it collapse, you know, it's all over YouTube. I mean, to see it collapse, it's, you know, it looks exactly like a controlled implosion. And I've seen footage where they've had World Trade Center Building 7, footage of that next to footage of other regularly controlled implosions. And you see the similarities are, you know, exactly the same, where there's that little break in the top, the little middle break in the top where it goes in against each other when right before it comes down. They have those aspects of it. So, and Silverstein tries to lie his way out of this one. Larry Silverstein, who took out that bigger policy on things. I'm surprised the insurance companies aren't going after his ass. But, you know, another Zionist. So he stood to gain from this. With the insurance money, I think it was about $5 billion. He could build a new building like that for that much. I wonder what the new one's going to cost. But, you know, it makes you wonder if there is any pre-wiring going on or, you know, how this went down. But it takes, you know, if they were to bring down if a demolition firm, your, you know, average demolition firm was going to take down a building the size of World Trade Center Building Number 7, it would probably take them, I don't know, a week or two just in planting the charges and making sure everything was lined up properly. So, you know, there's no way fire damage alone took down World Trade Center Building Number 7. And when you see it, when you see footage of it collapsing, you know, it's perfectly symmetrical, I don't know if symmetrical would be the word I'm using, wanting, but it's a perfect example of a regular implosion, controlled implosion that we've seen on so many other buildings on the news or whatever. So even Silverstein has heard, you know, you hear him saying, well, there's so much loss of life. You know, talked to the fire department and said there was so much loss of life, we decided to just pull the building, decided to pull it. Well, that's a term where the industry uses when they're going to, once the building's ready to be raised, you know, they pull it. That's the term that the demolition crowd people use. And now, of course, Silverstein's backed away from that. He says he meant something else. But that's, you know, that's what he says. So all these architects and engineers, they're not buying into this. And a lot of them don't have a conspiracy theory bent on it. They don't know how, in fact, I believe that architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, a lot of them don't state publicly who they think did what. They have their own conclusions. Even this film did not implicate anyone. They want to know who did it, how, and the whys. To me, it was done by Israel to achieve a greater Israel in the long run, getting more U.S. backing, more free foreign aid, more weaponry, and the demonization of Muslims and Islam. Because now that the Cold War is over, well, what's another easy target? So we'll set them up by deception. We make war. We'll set them up, and they'll be the new boogeyman. And we'll create a war against Islam, and we'll get the Christian Zionists on our side, and everybody else who might fear Muslims or this whole deal, and that's how we will manipulate the masses. And they're already very frightened because of 9/11, so it made it easier. And ironically, and I think this is very important, and that is, as I understand it, the heads of the big oil companies were not banging the drum for war in 2002 and 2003. They weren't banging the drums for war against Iraq. because, you know, big oil, they don't need their property blown up and destroyed. They don't need their employees killed or kidnapped. I think it was more of a, you know, empire wanting federal government. And, of course, a proxy war for Israel. The American Zionist crowd, the pro-Israel American Jewish Zionists, they pushed for this war with Iraq, invasion of Iraq, more so, as I understand it, than Israel did, or even Israeli masses. They were more concerned about Iran, as they still are, getting a nuke. Well, Israel has 200 to 300 nukes, and Iran has none, and their enriching process is like, I don't know, 60% to 70% below what it would take to enrich a real, you know, a real bomb. So I'm not afraid of Iran. They haven't invaded anybody for centuries. They know if they were to attack Israel, they could be incinerated. So that's all BS and propaganda, war propaganda by neocons and the whole crowd that wants to bring us to war again. Selfish bastards. Even though the country is broke, who's going to benefit of it? The military-industrial complex, you know, the rich, those rich bastards in the management of the defense companies, they're the ones that, you know, will benefit from this. And a bigger military budget has come across as a result of all this. And this, you know, Americans are sort of like walking on eggshells. There's this fear of uncertainty. Well, because the economy also, but, you know, for so long there was going to be another terrorist attack and this. So it worked like a charm. Good for you, Mossad. You pulled it off really well. You've scared people, and you've succeeded in demonizing Islam. And poor little Israel needs more help, so it's getting more money from the U.S., more aid. I think Obama pledged more to them. It's funny because they say a lot of more American Jews are going to part with Obama because he threw Israel under the bus. That's BS, too. He continues to support them big time, and he's spoken, you know, favorably in of our special relationship that we have with Israel, which I wish never existed. It's a bad relationship. Because again, and I told some people this on Saturday night when I saw the film, and no one contradicted me. They weren't aghast or anything. I said, you know, America had no enemies in the Middle East before 1948, when Palestine was violently imposed upon, when Israel was violently imposed upon Palestine. And ever since then, with all the American foreign aid and the weapons we've given Israel, ever since then, because of that legacy of unconstitutional U.S. foreign aid to Israel, and any country for that matter, but especially Israel, ever since then, it's caused more outrage in the Arab world. They see what's going on. Europe sees what's going on. So with the very powerful globalist Zionist international Jewry network, the good old boy deal they have, the good old boy network, they're able to use their vast power in the media and banking and elsewhere to keep this facade going that, oh, woe is me, you know, this is anti-Semitism, and it's always the Jews are blamed for things. Well, I'm not blaming all of the Jews. I'm blaming that Zionist crowd, this Zionist crowd of criminals was infiltrated and uses Judaism as their shield. Yet they're secular. They're mostly atheistic Jews who are part of this crowd. So, you know, that's how I see it. That's how I tell it. I'm not backing away from it. The 9/11 experts, speakout.org, who, behind this film, they talk about taking action. And their guidelines are, learn what you can do to help. We make it easy. Review the evidence and show it to your friends. You know, show this film with your friends online. Share it in person. We provide many options and helpful guides. Share DVDs or host a local screening. And then you can check out their tips and advice and ideas for how to open conversations about architects and engineers for a 9/11 truth. And then, of course, I'm pretty good at this, learn to gracefully respond to challenging comments and questions about 9/11. So as time goes on, more will come out about 9/11. But right now, most Americans can't even fathom that their own government let something like this happen. And as much as we were ostracized 10 years ago and 9 years ago, it's changing a bit. And, you know, as I like to say, time is the great, is the best friend of truth. Time is the best friend of truth. And, of course, 9/11 is going through this too. The 9/11 experience, the 9/11 history, the 9/11 pro and cons as to whether it was an inside job, whether they had prior knowledge. That reminds me of, as that battle goes on, truth passes through three stages: ridicule, opposition, and self-evident. So I am proud to be on the side of the coin that says that truth will prevail, that time is the greatest friend of truth, and that's why this stuff's coming out now. So thank goodness for the internet. And, you know, the Oklahoma bombings was more of the same stuff. I don't know if that was CIA or FBI, but if Timothy McVeigh was part of it or enabled, you know, by the CIA or FBI agents, who knows? Of course, he was executed, so we'll never know. And they want to execute Terry Nichols or make him quiet forever. That's what they want to do. They don't want Bradley Manning to speak. They want to get a hold of Julian Assange. And I hope he's not a shill because I like what he's done. They need to leave him alone. They want to use these trumped-up sex charges against him in Sweden so they can try to extradite him to the U.S., although I'm surprised our lapdog Britain doesn't have an extradition treaty with the U.S. I don't think Brazil does. So, but they want these government secrets and all this information kept secret so they can continue their imperial games and continue the war machine. But the mighty PK and those of us who know better, we will continue the struggle and we will continue to stand up to the federal government and its machinations, its lies and distortions of the truth. A good example of that is Eric Holder. It's funny, all the Democrats coming to his aid. And I'm not a partisan because I think both parties are corrupt and they're basically the same. But I want to see that Holder bastard crucified, you know. And I brought this up with some friends the other day. As bad as what Jerry Sandusky did with those kids over the years, as bad as that was, he did not kill them. Yes, they're going to have some emotional scars, but he did not murder them. Eric Holder sees that drug lord criminals in Mexico are furnished with American-made murder weapons, automatic weapons and such, so they can trace them to see who they killed or whatnot. You know, in the meantime, more people are killed, a border agent, you know. So that is way beyond what Jerry Sandusky did. Eric Holder should be crucified for this and the deaths that that caused, all those guns. And he said that the Bush administration did it too. I'm not surprised. If they did, they ought to be crucified too and brought in front of a jury. Because it's amazing the murder they just continue to get away with. So I have no sympathy for these bastards. I would love to see a lot of trials and executions. I want to see Bernanke. I'd like to see Bernanke and Greenspan tried and executed. Not because I'm some left-wing guy who's trying to get even or I'm not any type of Shay or anything. I want to get these perpetrators of these crimes against the American people and the world, and they're getting away scot-free. They're rich. They're writing books. They're doing speaking tours. So it's just really sickening to me. But that's why I'm the mighty PK, and that's why I bring forth what I believe to be true. And I will continue doing so because I can't be bought. Can't be intimidated. I just don't want to be killed or manipulated by the FBI and the CIA, the masters of deception. And I'm sure you don't either, folks. So, with that, I am going to say goodnight. Thank you for tuning in here at Third Stream View on bbsradio.com. Every Monday evening from 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Eastern, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. So until next week, your mighty host PK saying goodnight, everyone. Thanks for listening. I was wasting my youth.